Did I tell you about how I weed on the couch? Anyway.
That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking.
All right. Well, the sun is out. That's we are in St Kilda talking. At the Esplanade Hotel. I am your bartender, Harley Breen, my co-bartender. My partner in alcohol crime, David Quirk.
We tend bars, don't we?
Well, we don't. Have you ever tended a bar? Have we ever discussed that? You've never tended a bar?
No, it's funny you ask because I've never worked in hospitality and I sort of always swore I never would. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know because I work so much retail.
Do you know what's one of my great passions?
But there's something about I always liked finishing work at the end of the day to have the night free. I was always that guy, even though retail sucks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yes, I do because I've worked quite a bit of retail, and that is the huge difference. If you work hospitality, your nights are gone.
Yeah.
But I liked getting on the drink at
while
midnight.
Getting paid.
Yeah, well, while being paid, absolutely. I did a lot of bartending when I was already under the weather.
Yeah, sure.
But I also liked the idea that when you knock off. So let's say your hospitality job finishes at 1. Well, it's perfectly respectable to still be drinking at 5
to give it another 6 or 7
hours.
Well,
come on.
Hey, here's a question.
Yes.
Are people at bars allowed – I see them do shots, you know, at cool bars and stuff. Mm. They're shooting, you know, tequila together. Yeah, is that legal? Are they allowed?
No, it's not.
You're not allowed to be seen or even do it at all. You're supposed to be sober on your
– No. I think when you do your RSA, and I did about 6 years of bartending and never did an RSA, which is your responsible service of alcohol, you can't be under the influence when you're serving alcohol. It's illegal. It's not allowed. And also, if you own a bar and you don't let your staff have shots while they're working, you're a piece of shit.
So it's a catch-22 in the world of Harley Breen.
Hey, but anyway, there's a massive episode ahead of us, David. I'm going to get into you in a minute. I didn't mean the words to come out that way. But I'm very excited about...
Oh, quick thing.
Yes.
It's been a couple of weeks since I wasn't in, remember?
Yes, I do remember that.
How could we forget?
Yeah, you almost weren't here today.
I was notable by my absence on that one. And I just want to say, fuck Wade Duffin. Because I've since had a good listen back to that. And Wade, if you're listening, fuck you and your entire family, who I actually love, Claire. But fuck her too. He went
so
hard on me.
But you know what?
I know
Wade very well. It's definitely in love. He only ever speaks that way about people he likes.
Yeah, I take that back. I'm sorry, Wade.
You're different to Wade because he would never take it back.
Okay, well, there you go.
But on this week's episode...
Can I just cut you off again?
Yeah.
I was just riding here. From the city, and I just thought...
But I want to get into that. I want to tell the listener what they're going to hear.
I just was thinking, I'm clearly a bit hung up on this, because I was just thinking, it is funny that Wade is better friends with Harley Breen than I am. Like, he calls him her best. I think there's... let's move on.
Are you upset about the level of our friendship status? Are you vying?
And how much fun you're having, the three of you. Oh, God. Makes me sick. Someone else wrote to me and said it was just like a drinking version of shitting with the door open. Like, kill me.
That's exactly what it was.
with Oliver Clark.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Where were we?
Great Oliver Clark. And it was a good episode. And it was a tragedy not to have you in.
His golden throat, Ollie C.
He does have a golden throat.
Okay, so.
This week's episode, I'm excited about both the expert, the brewer. Coming in from a brewery that I've had a bit of a love affection for, and also very excited about the guest Barfly, certainly a man that I have a love affection for.
Me too. So one of the great comics.
We have Dan Dayton from Dayton Brewery. Any beer nerds out there are going to be into the many specials that Dayton offer up, and you and I are going to get to try some of those to get us properly lubricated.
Oh, El Nido.
Because we need to be lubricated for our guest Barfly.
Yeah, El Nido Wanto.
Yeah, who is the absolutely wonderful and world weary at the moment, Reese Nicholson.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's been everywhere lately.
He's been everywhere. Yeah. Ridiculous. Have you had a big week drinking though?
Yeah, I actually found myself at Tom Ballard's 30th birthday.
Oh.
you remember he was only 16 or so when we all met
him? I do remember when he was 16. Isn't he was that... in Class Clowns and I was the facilitator or the, you know, the workshop facilitator, whatever it is you do with Class Clowns, which is a teenage-based comedy competition, and that's where I met Tom Bella.
Facilitator of teens.
Yeah, that's where my career was going. And to be honest with you, I probably should still be doing those workshops because get rent to pay.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid any sort of Robert Kelly jokes there, you and teenagers. But anyway, Harley, listen, Tom Ballard, I went to his 30th.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, he's a he roasted. He wanted a roast.
I think that's a little bit disturbed, isn't it?
It is. It was a bad idea because people were making all the appropriate jokes you'd make about someone that's, you know, lived like Tom has. But it was a great party, but I found myself up. Lived. I'm looking at Reese Nicholson right now and he wasn't there, sadly, because he was too world weary.
Yeah.
But KB Hi-Fi was there. That's that's Reese's partner. But
Fiance.
Fiance.
They're
fianced. Sorry, congratulations to them.
Oh yeah.
Legal Eagles.
Yeah.
Now anyway, I'm being really stupid. But I did find myself, as you know, I live over the pit of despair. The pit of
what?
Where I live on Flinders Lane.
Yes, you do.
I live over a big.
It's a famous laneway
in Melbourne where they're building a new, huge new train station.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I've been to your house and stood out on the balcony, and you can see. And you're right. You do live above intense. A massive pit. Yeah,
and there's cranes, and you can nearly touch them sometimes. And I've always once I threw a bag of my dog's. Dog poo onto a little excavator just to please myself because I get so sick of the noise.
Yeah, that's fair enough, and that's an appropriate thing to do. Were you sober? I was sober. Were you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Anyway, but this guy and this girl who we met out at very late at night came back to the house at about 6 in the morning.
This is the second time you've told a story like this on this podcast, and it must be about the 15th time you've told me a story like this in our friendship.
Mm.
What you keep taking people back to your tiny weird apartment that's got a fucking shower in the middle of it.
And a fucking whippet.
And a whippet. Mm. Late at night.
Late or early in the morning in this case. What? And they were strangers. They were strangers, but we liked them. My lady and I, we liked them.
You and your lady, who's a fantastic human being, seem to
gravitate
to strangers. Don't you come back?
We're like the Pied Piper of people who've been up too long, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, people were smoking, of course, you know, and we had to go and get me and this guy, Alex, his name is, never met him, lovely Englishman.
Yep.
Basically, to cut the story, we went and got cigarettes for people and we jumped into the pit. I was wearing a suit jacket. It's like 8 in the morning and we're waving back up to my house and then we got kicked out.
Yeah,
there's footage of us. I didn't think there was anyone there. It was just one of those days, yeah.
Was that a weekday?
No, it was Sunday morning.
Well, you'd hope that the unions had done their job and somebody wouldn't be
Someone on site, yeah.
Well,
anyway, that's my story. Alex, if you're listening, Alex and Zoe, good people.
Good on you, Alex and Zoe. Well done. It'll be the last time you're invited over because they only invite strangers.
That's not true. And what about you, Harlot?
Look, I haven't – it hasn't been that massive.
No, just baby talk.
Well, because there's a lot of baby time at my house. So, you know, just the standard, you know, couple of six-packs an evening just to take the edge off.
Yeah, nice, nice.
But, yeah, there hasn't been anything that spectacular, although – I did travel away to a wonderful thing that you and I at some stage in the future will be involved with, which is a great mashup of comedy and alcohol called Grapes of Mirth.
Interesting. When?
I went to Orange.
Oh, you've been.
Yeah, so I went to Orange in New South Wales. I flew into Sydney and then drove for 3.5 hours with a friend of the show, Heath Franklin.
Yep.
And then performed a show there, and we got there quite late, and then I found myself chasing everybody else, even though they hadn't had that much of a start on
chasing there. As in catching up.
Yeah, catching up. You know, when you're just like, oh, everyone else is ahead of me, I better have a few drinks. Yeah. Even as I'm telling you this story, I'm like, surely I told you this last week.
You didn't. I don't think.
Who knows?
I edit this out, as I always say.
Look, I think it's at this time we should get ourselves a little bit more lubricated and bring in our guest brewer from a brewery that I've had a little bit of a love affection for. By name is the head brewer of the brewery. It's Dan Dainton of Dainton Brewery.
Hi.
Hi, G'day, Dan. Mate. Can I just say, big fan of good initials.
Thank you.
DD.
Yes.
DD. If you got a text from me, I would call you that.
You go DD.
And fact, actually, because I'm DQ, which I'm also a fan of.
Well, on that subject, there's a Marvel comic called Daredevil.
Mm. Yes.
Which actually there was a series made recently, which was all right. But Daredevil's symbol is very similar to your symbol for Dainton Brewery. Yeah. Are you a fan of Daredevil or Marvel?
I do carry sticks like around to beat people up with as well. So,
and you're blind.
I was about to mention the blindness.
Yeah, that is probably the more accurate. Yeah,
your other's senses are heightened so well you can brew beer.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, you
with
can
my sticks.
Yeah. So there's a few of my mates that are a little bit they're fanboys of you. One in particular is Heath Franklin, who plays the character Chopper, who's a little bit shitty that he's not here
for this
in town for this. Yeah, he's been messaging me for the last few days. I told him that you were coming in.
I'm happy to go on tour with him. That's fine.
I think that'd be a match.
We'll hook you two up. Yes, we can make that happen. But before we get into the beers you brought in, what started you off on your brewing journey? Like, did you this is what I always ask brewers. Did you brew at home?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. What really started off was, you might, depending on how long you've been following Dainton for, we had a beer called the Insane Uncle IPA. Now, it was named after my uncle who fired me from my sales job, which led to me brewing beer. So thanks. Thank you, Uncle.
What a great tribute.
Thanks for the career change.
Yeah. Later, he attributed, you know, the success of Dainton to him. He's basically, I knew you were going to be successful, just not being a shitty salesman for me. Get out. So that's where I started.
Yeah, like an abusive father who, you know, treats you bad, but then says, "Are you like a boy named Sue?" Kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And were you a good home brewer?
No, I sucked for a long time. In fact, it was my cousin, my uncle's son, who named my first beer the Flager, the Filthy Lager. So it was pretty horrendous. Mm. Until one day I was good, and then I think I got good. Went and got a job at James Squire, got a job at Holgate as a brewer. Won a few medals, and the old man was like, "Maybe all these years of you begging me to buy you a brewery, I should do that now." And it's been 6 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
So you established your own brewery. You've got your own stainless.
We do.
Everything's in your own shed.
Correct. We do now. We didn't for about 3 years. We made beer at 7 different breweries around Victoria. And to be honest, it was a waste of fucking time. Like, I think the best thing that I got out of it was his finger, which now all it is good for is holding a beer, but it went into an auger. And took it off and, yeah.
Well, for those of you who are listening, because it's the only way to access this podcast.
You couldn't see my hand doing its thing. What do you mean?
Dan has a claw on his pointer finger on his right hand, his shaking hand, and I shook your hand before. I was like, what's going on with your finger there? So what, you lost it and they reattached it and it's sitting there like that now?
It was actually working fine, but I'm a big Inspector Gadget fan, and I was like, could I get that thing going on? And they were like, yeah, that's fucking awesome.
I had a TAFE teacher for my Prevo in carpentry, which I never finished because it's what I do best, who put his hand through a thicknesser, which is a plane on both sides, timber plane, and which just stripped his hand of all of its flesh. And they so what they did is they opened up his chest, put his hand inside his chest, sewed that back shut so that flesh would grow to his hand. And then he had to sit there for 6 months like that. And they said, what would you like to do with your hand? And he said, swing a hammer and hold a beer. So they put all these metal rods into this one fleshy finger. All four fingers had become one fleshy finger. And they bent it so it was like that. It's like a claw, so he could hold a beer and swing a hammer. But because they'd done this on his chest, and so then they cut it out of the chest, right?
It sounds completely made up. It's so outrageous.
He grows chest hair on the back of his hand.
Oh, well, that's...
Is there a hand, like, print on his chest?
What's the problem with that?
A gaping hole in his chest.
It sounds horror movie.
Chest hair on your hand. Oh, my... Sir, you're growing some chest hair down there on your hand.
Excuse me, sir. I believe you're...
That's grotesque. I hope he's doing okay.
I don't even know why I got into that.
It's probably
story.
Good insulation for his beer, though. That's like when he's holding it. So
well, because the palm side was a graft from his buttocks.
Yeah, you got some.
Does
arse.
His hand smell a little bit?
Yeah,
stink palm.
Anyway, listen. Sorry, you as a brewery, you punch above your weight because you're a very small brewery in the grand schemes of breweries in Australia. But you because of our wonderful Bottle-O that we go to quite often, just here in St Kilda, Ackland Cellars, who are big beer nerds down there. Your whole sort of range flows through that fridge, and I'm like, Jesus, there's another one from Dainton. There's another one from Dainton. Has it become an obsession to just be creating new all the time? Are you bored?
Yeah, I'm probably bored and I'm certainly obsessive. So there's those two things. But look, I suppose the creativity of it is what drives me. So it's just like, all right, what are we going to do next? What are we going to do next? What are we going to do next? And look, we sell a lot of one beer, which you guys will taste soon, which is a blood orange one.
Yes, I have drunk it.
Yes. So that's our biggest selling beer by a long way. And then the rest of the time it's really kind of playing to the market too. It's just like, well, people want something new all the time. This Gen Y in particular. I don't know anything about any of the other generations, but I know that one. They're like, new, more. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm sure I have some kind of ADHD thing going on, OCD, whatever, and I just keep making different beers.
But well, then,
sorry, Harz, is it also Harley talking the way would you identify as a brewery that wants to sort of occupy or is happy to occupy that kind of place as in, there's a word, very boutique.
Niche. Yeah, niche.
And do it really well. Is that the idea?
Nah, not really.
if you could be CUB, you would. Is it like, you know what I mean?
Where's the middle ground?
Between
boutique and CUB.
There's probably a couple of breweries that you see around that do it well. I think Stone and Wood do it really well. Yes. So they're making a lot of beer and they make a couple of really cracking ones. I think another one not too far away is Bolter. You look at Four Pines, they recently got bought out by CUB, got bought out by Gearin or Asahi.
Asahi.
Whatever. Yes. So, and then Pirate Life again. So they, to me, that pale ale that they brought out, what was it, 5 years ago that was one of the best beers, Australian beers I've ever tasted.
A cracking beer.
Absolutely great
Which one? The Pirate Life what?
Pirate Life pale ale. Mm. In a navy blue can.
I know it.
It's a cracking
beer. You can find it.
It's always around everywhere.
It is. And look, I can't say, I love the guys still. I haven't had a good one for a while and I'm not sure what's going on. But
Sure.
Yeah. But look, there are, and that's kind of where we're looking to go.
You're heading towards,
how do we do it and do it organically?
I'm with you. That was a great answer to that question, I thought.
It was.
Yeah, so thank you, Dan. Yeah. Very cleared up.
You can tick that box.
Yep.
Yeah. Listen, we should absolutely pour some drinks into some glassware that we have in front of us. So what have you brought in for us today, Dan?
Yeah. So I heard Weird and Wacky and I didn't really go Weird and Wacky. I brought in our New Age IPA, which is something that I'm really interested in sort of getting out.
Commonly referred to as a NEPA.
Well...
Sorry, what is the N for?
A NEPA?
No.
Isn't it?
No.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're slightly incorrect.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Well said.
Yeah. I'll take that.
a New Age IPA here. Have a look here. So basically the idea of... A normal IPA, India Pale Ale.
Okay, I'm with you. Right.
The idea behind this one was it's in collaboration with a guy I work with from Beyond the Beers. It's about having conversations that matter over a beer. So the idea with this was, well, do you need to get inebriated to have those important conversations?
Sure.
I don't think you do. I'm not saying don't drink beer. I'm not saying don't get drunk.
Of course you will.
Everyone out there, you better get drunk on my beer.
It's strongly arguable that it's never necessary to get inebriated to have an important conversation.
So wait, you know what I mean? What is a NEPA though? Before we get, because I realise what you're saying, I'm not right. So what's a NEPA?
I never said that.
It's a new...
New England?
New England IPA.
Yes.
Yours is a new age IPA. Yes. And you're right in saying it's completely different because this one is just above what would be referred to as a 0% beer.
Or an ultralight.
It's 0.9%.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is a first time for us.
It is.
Effectively, a non-alcoholic beer is what you're brewing.
Pretty much.
But you can't be classified as that, can you? Because it's a 0.9.
I think it needs to be under 0.5, under 0.5. Yeah, I think it can be classified.
Like I recently, on the episode the other week, I had that when I was called in.
Yes.
I was having a Heineken
00.
It's not 00, but it's...
But isn't that the label?
It's 0.04.
Yes, very, very low. It's good as zero, yeah.
So this is a heavy in comparison. I'm going to drink this straight out of the can. Well,
you've got yours open, Dan. Cheers.
I drank all mine. It was good.
And you've got a little bit of a play on Pink Floyd's album cover.
A little bit.
On the front.
Cheers.
Oh. Cheers.
Cheers, Dan.
So thank you for having me.
GD.
So the idea behind the label was, you know, New age, as in like the new kind of dude kind of thing.
Jesus, that's a good fucking beer that's not a beer.
Yeah, it's not bad. Mm. But we've also got, you look at the label, we've got green hops, we've got orange for yeast, we've got yellow for barley, and then we've got the blue for water going into the D, coming out as beer on the other side. So yeah, a little bit of science behind
it's
the art.
Very homoerotic.
I'm aroused.
The rainbow flag going into the D. All right.
And coming out the other side. Yeah, nice.
Perfect episode for Reese.
Why does it have to be homoerotic?
I don't know. It's Harley Breen.
It could just be arousing.
Sure. That's delicious. And
thank you.
Reese is going to destroy Harley with this. Not like that. Or maybe like that. Who knows?
I've actually been doing some searching for independents who are doing this kind of a drink. And we didn't even ask you to do this. And obviously, I don't mean make the beer, but to bring this in, this is perfect. Because would you say that someone who is on the wagon, a teetotaler, can consume this beer? Or is it too high in alcohol volume?
Oh, look, to be honest, I think anything with alcohol in it, if they're a complete teetotaler, then no. I would say no, don't do it.
But wouldn't that go for lemon, lime and bitters as well?
Yes, it would.
Yeah, okay.
That's my personal opinion. Yeah, having having looked at a lot of people who have had serious issues with alcohol, this is getting into probably an area we don't need to talk about, though.
No, not at all.
Look, if you can't drink alcohol at all and you have an issue
with it,
don't touch it.
Okay.
Yeah. In
okay.
fact, I'd be even concerned about if you're a recovering alcoholic, say, not that I like to use labels, but then even the idea of just having a non-alcoholic beer. To me, if that was me, I'd be like, it's a little bit too close. But for someone who really wants to cut back on their booze and go, hey, look, you know, I've got a thing on today. I've got to drive home. I'm going to a mate's barbecue. I'm going to have a couple of beers with the boys.
Yeah.
I've got to pick up the kids or I've got something big on later.
You can have 10 of these.
You can have 10 and that's 3 beers.
Yeah.
It's actually 2 heavy beers. So, yeah.
No, that's, again, very good answer.
I'm going to buy a slab of this and have it for breakfast.
Absolutely, on your cornflakes. You know, I saw someone buying cornflakes the other day, just walking through the city holding cornflakes, and I was like, well played.
Did you see the cornflake beer?
You don't see that too often.
No, I did see the cornflake beer. Yeah. Yes, I did. Who made that?
I don't really know.
I did see the cornflake beer.
Yeah.
There's also the Gay Time beer that came out of the brewery in South Australia.
Yeah, the Golden Stout Time, I think.
Yes, that was what it was called, yes.
Yeah, we did one where we got into a lot of trouble for it. It might look like a certain favourite cherry.
Oh, I've got you.
Bar.
Yeah.
Of sorts. Yeah.
Because you called it that name.
Well.
Yeah, because I saw it.
Close.
Sure.
All right. Well, listen, David and I have had a long day for various different reasons.
Yes.
I've got too many children and you've been riding a bike.
Too many
everywhere.
Kilometres.
Yeah, you got too many kilometres. So do you have something else in that magical bag?
Absolutely.
That maybe has a bit of a punch in it?
Yes, I've got – I actually brought 2 in because
– Good.
Well, hang on. Good. We can start with this one. So the old – that is a NEPA.
Yes.
Shall I pour you up?
Yeah, let's pour that one out.
Yeah. So you know.
So is this what you've had?
Yes, I've had this one.
You know
In fact, this was the first Dayton I drank.
Right.
Well, that's good.
It's just opening beers aplenty here.
Yep, and there's some more for later for you guys. And you get to keep this bag.
And this one's...
Oh, I did. I was looking at that bag. Good on you. I love that.
Brought one bag. Now, no, I'm now keeping
that one. Harley, I'm a dad.
No.
Oh, I've got this one. You have that one, David. And this one is sitting at a far more cheers, respectable 6%.
Thank you.
Alcohol volume. Cheers, David.
What a lovely colour.
Yeah, then now this is another one that we're pouring out. That's very hazy. You know, it looks like it's a meal to get through, but yeah. From experience, drinks very easily.
See, when you said you first had this, is that right, Harley?
Mm-hmm.
When you said blood orange, I thought that can't be right. But I hear that, I wouldn't think it sort of is that kind of beer. Mm. It tastes. I can taste the orange.
Well, but if you smell it, it smells like passion fruit.
Sure, sure. Let me have a sniff.
Yeah, and it's very low on bitter, and it doesn't actually taste.
Great.
Again, like there's so many beers now on the market that are higher in the alcohol volume. This is by no means the highest we've had in, and certainly not that you make. But, you know, it doesn't drink like you, oh, geez, that's 6%. It's like, oh, no, that's just a summary.
I'm having a phantasm spelled with a PH. It's really good.
Does it have a Z in there or an S?
A Z, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you having phantasms over this?
Mate, bit? I'm having heaps of phantasms. I'm away.
I think I haven't had lunch and, you know, this is just lucky for that. You haven't had 0.9. Yeah,
0.9 and you're off your face.
I am.
Yeah, you're a real Sharon. I'm intoxicado. At a hen's night at the moment.
No, this is great.
It's a great drink. And so you would say that's your mainstay at Dayton.
It is, yeah. You know, we started off when we built the brewery 3 years ago, we had grand ideas of making like a pale ale, a lager, an IPA, and it just, look, I think what works for us is those weirder, quirkier kind of things. Like a lot of, I suppose, me comes out in that. I'm slightly eccentric, slightly weird, slightly off centre, but also delicious. So,
well, it's certainly how I've got to know your brewery, and I was saying to you before David arrived that a drink that you haven't brought in, but I'm gonna give it a mention because it's an exceptional drink is Cookies and Cream, which I drank at David Quirk's trial show.
Well, they serve it there, do they?
They just got it in. It was brand new out.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I remember after I the show, I said, mate, you got to have this. I probably didn't say
at
it as
at the Toff in Town, is that
yes.
right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't say it as clearly that because I had about six or seven of them. But if you can get your hands on that beer, it is absolutely delicious.
Wild stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not what we're going to drink next. You've got one more beer.
I do have one more. I thought I'd bring this one in. So,
there you go. Mm.
This.
We could probably just crack one for now.
We'll just start with that. You can say one. It's 8%, so it's meaty.
Yeah, it's 8%, sure. Let's just crack one of those.
There's a glass or two, Harley.
So, there's a little story behind this one. This is the first beer that we ever made.
It's got a psychedelic. Label.
It's got a weird. Yeah, you can wear 3D glasses and look at it.
It's for the third birthday. 3D, very good. It's anniversary ale.
I love this.
TDH double red eye rye.
Yes.
What is TDH?
Triple dry hopped. So lots of sort of fruity, hoppy, piney, citrus notes.
Mm-hmm.
It did win Champion Australian Independent Beer this year.
Congratulations,
David.
Thank you.
Did it?
Like, look at the colour.
It did. And there's a little story behind it. I did say to my partner at the time that if we won another award on the night that I would propose in front of everyone, and we won the last one of the night and we're getting married, so yay.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a big night.
The way you led that story in was not the way I thought it was going to end.
I'm terrible at telling stories.
You said my partner at the time, I'm like, it's going bad, let's drink.
She hated the beer.
Still checks out to say at the time because, you know, it was at the
time.
That's true.
It was,
It was happening at the time. Cheers, Harley. Cheers, Dan.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Well,
mate,
have you never had this, Harley?
No, I've definitely never had this. That is,
that's right. You know,
that's right, isn't it?
I go looking
for
that.
Stuff.
No, it's right up my alley. I go looking for that flavour.
Actually, that is correct. When we finish this, or sometimes we just run into each other, and you give my eldest child an impromptu skate lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the kind of drinks that you're buying from the same bottle we mentioned, and that is. There's a lot going on. I don't even know what to put my finger on there.
No, I'm very happy.
You've put a lot of effort into that.
Thank you.
That's a great beer.
Thank you very much. We like it.
Yeah, if I continue that. Because the thing
is, you continue that, you wet the bed for sure, won't you?
I will wet the bed. Did I tell you about how I weed on the couch? Anyway, what's striking me there is that there's quite a thickness to it.
Yeah.
But it's very carbonated still,
right,
from
look at this palate. Listen to this palate.
Well,
everyone.
From previous episodes, even the one, again, that you didn't make it into because you were stuck on your bike.
I heard that was a really good one.
Lest we forget. Sorry, were you in there listening to my swearing? Dan, sorry.
I got the gist of it, yeah.
But it's, it's a great beer, man. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, And that's that's going to run out and people won't be able to find it?
Yeah, it will. And we'll brew it again next year for the fourth anniversary. So, yep. Yeah.
4D.
This one, it's in, you know, there's a dimension of time in it as well. So I don't know how we're going to do We're breaking that. Rules of quantum physics, basically, to make it.
Well, you don't need to hear it from me or from David because you quite clearly know what you're doing, but you're doing great shit and thank you very much for bringing it in and letting us drink it.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers to Dayton.
Oh, well, that was Dan Dayton from Dayton Breweries, but now it's time for our barfly to step in and regale us with stories. And I'm excited about this guy because I've done a lot of touring with him and I think he's really lovely. And fuck, has he exploded. David Quirk.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
It is.
Can
Reece,
I say it?
Yes.
Nicholson. Reece Nicholson. Hey. Worst intro
RN.
Ever.
RN.
Worst.
RN.
Sorry, Reece Nicholson.
RN Drive.
We have just finished an 8% beer.
Yeah, you boys. Yeah. It's all right. I had a couple of wines. I'm onto a gin. I'm there. Good. I'm there with you.
I love it because you walked in and you had that, I thought you were having a soda water.
Oh,
and
no.
I was
I'm
like,
gay, but I'm not
Reece.
A faggot.
Well, if you hadn't said
what
it, I would have.
Start.
Yeah. I did. I thought, oh, it's a shame. His buddy, you know, he's having a soda water.
No. Now, my very good fiancé is here to drive me home. So.
Yes, he is. And just because just before we started, I said, save it.
Yeah.
And you were telling a story about the fact that you don't drive. Your fiancé, Kyron, does drive.
Yes.
And last night, happened to have.
This will be two times in a row now, like within 24 hours, that I've gotten accidentally quite drunk. And then he's had to drive me from the city back to, or this time from St Kilda to Coburg,
yes.
Where we live, where I just sit in the car and go.
The opposite ends of the right. Actual poles of Earth.
If Earth what is flat, they're each corner.
And what happened last night?
Well, we just had dinner with friends.
Yes.
But it was kind of our two friends who, same thing, one of them was driving and one of them was drinking. And so me and the drinker sat opposite each other and just fueled each other while the other two, it's like we were the toddlers.
No,
at
I
one
understand.
Point, the drinker picked up his baby, and he was like, "Do you want to hold?" And I went, "No, I'm really drunk, and so are you. You shouldn't be holding that baby
but
right now."
Right, I've known you since I was a bit of a boy, and you were definitely a boy.
Yes,
and that was a very long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're definitely a proper man. You can't fucking pretend
I got pubes.
That you're a boy. Right?
Yeah.
Grow up.
I've seen him.
Get a license. Stop making other people drive you around.
I've
What's
got my
happening?
L.
Absolutely not.
I've got my L. I thought that was leading to a compliment, and then it was a real slap in the face at the end.
Me too. You're a real man.
Like, oh, yeah. I'm a man.
Drew
Can you say
in
that
there.
In my dad's voice?
You're a real man, and you're in full bloom, and yet not at all.
We have. I would say we have known each other for like we all met probably around the same time. Like I met you two probably around the same time. We did roadshow together, Harley.
Yes. Yeah.
And I within the theme of drinking. I remember we were on tour with with another comedian who I won't name who doesn't drink but is of the generation
Boring.
Below me.
Sorry.
Is the generation below me who I would say the generation of comedians below me don't drink.
As in younger than you?
Younger than me.
Than you.
Yes, like they drink a lot less.
What are the comedians that are just below you?
Just below me.
Oh, there's
me.
Heaps of them. Yeah.
Heaps of them. There's a lot.
Yeah.
No, but
oh yeah, I'm a very good comedian.
Who is the younger comedian? That's I'd love to
because you're young. Like,
I'm young, but there's definitely a generation of comedian.
Oh no, I'm not going to argue with you. There is a there's a change afoot.
Yeah.
It's not a change. It's just more people. There's people that keep doing comedy.
The generation that don't the 90s drink. Into the 2000s.
Oh, that don't drink.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That was what I was saying.
I forgot this afoot. Podcast was about drinking. Yeah. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Well, the first time we were on Melbourne Comedy Festival Roadshow together, you, me, and another person on the tour were sitting, and this comedian got on the flight and was sitting a few rows in front of us, and they were talking. But they did that thing where they don't drink, but they pretend that they do.
I don't like that.
That thing of standing,
I'll just be honest.
Of standing back. Like, if you don't want to drink, that's fine. But yes. Standing backstage with a beer and taking but tiny sips and tipping it out later.
No.
Do you know what I mean? That type of thing.
Oh God. Even don't to the worst that. Beer in the world, I wouldn't.
No, don't just be yourself, right? And just don't drink.
Just be honest.
Yeah,
and I remember you at one point on the first day of the tour, we were sitting there on the plane and you looked over and you looked at me and you went, I'm going to destroy that boy by the end of this tour. And you did. You got him really drunk by the end of it and I'm really proud of you.
Well,
this is a lovely story.
I don't know if this will stay in.
Does he now have a long-term problem?
Yeah, probably, but don't we all?
I actually know who you're talking about, and you're right to leave the name out.
I think bullying
is great.
Because
I believe that might have been in Coffs Harbour.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing escapes Harley's mind.
Okay. Well, Jesus Christ.
Why don't you two
some of the previous episodes we've just done have escaped my mind. There are things that do, but then they come trickling back in. Over the course of weeks and months and years.
Just today I was listening to the Tim Rogers episode.
Yes.
And do you guys remember that one?
I was worried after it. Like I was embarrassed because we gave in to it that time.
I don't want to be too meta where we're talking about an episode on an episode, but I really enjoyed it. I quite enjoyed hearing Quirk. You talking to Tim Rogers to me.
Yeah.
Like you're very much the same but very – like it was like –
No, I know what you mean.
It was like a lizard talking to a snake. Like we're the same, but we're different. Yeah. Like we're in the same world, but do you know what I mean? Like, like the way that you were talking to each other was like you could just. I could see you like if you would have kissed or something at the end, I'd be like, oh yeah, this makes sense.
It would have been fine.
Oh, that could have happened actually.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it didn't happen because I got the hiccups and I was leaning on. My manager slash producer of this podcast, I was leaning on her and I was hiccuping.
During the show.
She's out there on the phone right now. And I had to leave. So I don't actually know what happened with David and Tim. They may have made out.
All I know is that I'm genuinely... genuinely keen to invite him to my birthday party.
To your 39th.
Yeah, in February. Come along. Guys, listening, February 15th.
In your weird shit. You know, I've never seen your apartment.
Well, that's actually only your fault, Reese, but we want to get you over at 7 a.m. to run through the pit.
He knows you too well. You're not allowed to come.
No.
You need to not know him and then he'll invite you over at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And you've met Gemma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, please come
your
over.
Your lady.
Would you come to the birthday party? Her. Would you come to... She's been named. She's been named in the past.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, when she was born.
She was named.
Oh God!
Well, I don't know. I don't want to make this personal. You know, I've already said my address on this.
Have you really? You said Flinders Lane.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a long lane.
That's all right. Not long enough.
I live in St Kilda.
Not long enough for the huge fans that line up for this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, your ego is outweighing the want of people trying to find you.
You're a real Shuruk Khan of that's the drink talking. Just a shout out to the Bollywood fans there.
Bollywood Kingdom.
Okay. All right. Now, Reese Nicholson, there's business to be done here. You have drunk, in fact, quite a bit already today, and that's why you're...
Yes. I'm in a good mood, obviously.
Yeah.
As I've said, no food.
Tell your face.
Is it, and this is more of an English, a language thing, is it drunk or drank? That's a genuine question.
You've drunk a lot today or you've drank a lot today?
What is the... I'm glad that both of you...
I don't think you'd say you drank a lot today.
I'm glad that both of you...
I'd say I've drunk a lot today.
I would have said I drank a lot yesterday.
Oh, pardon.
But I've
drunk a lot today.
Yeah.
Call in now. If you can...
Oh, imagine if we got a... If the three of us on some got sort a radio of talk show.
Could you imagine what Very sort good. Of parasite had... wormed its way into the brain of a radio executive to make a decision to allow the three of us to be on commercial radio.
Well, I've...
Phone in.
Yeah, I give Reese I've listened to Kiss before. Yeah.
Sure.
It's possible.
We can't all be Kyle. What was your first drink, Reese Nicholson?
Well, this is... As a listener of this podcast, do you... I know that there's the kind of... The first drink that I ever had was... like just a beer with my uncle.
Right.
Like, but it wasn't, I was on work experience. He was like my cool Sydney uncle, remains to be.
Yeah.
You know that like everyone had like a...
Was he an uncle very close in age? Have you got one of those families where like there was
not very close, but definitely my mum's the eldest and he's the youngest by a long shot. So it is that kind of, it is more like his kids are more like my niece and nephew.
Than cousins.
Than cousins.
Yes.
Yeah, or my nieces. Yep. Yeah. But so I had a beer, but that doesn't really count. I was quite late to drinking. Late by New, I grew up in Newcastle, so late by Newcastle standards.
Well, because that's how I was going to lead into it. You're from Newcastle, which is, for those who don't know, for very many years held the mantle of roughest pub culture in Australia.
We're still celebrating since we won the grand final in 1996 or something.
So Kalgoorlie, again, a WA mining town, mm-hmm. Had the roughest pub in Australia.
Yeah.
And that was based on people getting punched in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
And Newcastle had like, I don't know, three or four top listings in the top 10 of a place roughest pubs.
The Hoey Moey, I think it's called. Right. There was a place called the Lucky Country where you could get $1 schnapps. The Lockout Laws, the Sydney Lockout Laws were trialed in Newcastle when I was 18 years old.
Wow. When I was there doing roadshow.
Yeah. And it was...
Years ago.
You couldn't, as long as I've been, I had a fake ID when I was 17, you could not buy a drink in a glass. It has been in plastic because people just kept putting it other people's faces.
There's not to get sidetracked here, but there's also been some pretty horrific anti-gay violence.
Yes.
Major stories.
When I left.
We can all get along.
You're the
now.
Only gay in the village / city.
Yeah, about 2009, it really dropped off.
He's gone. Let's all be peaceful now and lovely.
Oh, thank God. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
The poof has left. We don't have to bash anyone anymore. Anyway, Jesus.
My fists,
but it's a rough
really
town
bored.
Is the
yes.
point.
And it's not anymore. It's an annoying thing.
But was that a part of the... Because you haven't even revealed yet when you did start drinking. Was that maybe a little part of not drinking because there was a roughness?
A little bit. I mean, there's a little bit of drinking in my family, so like a little bit of... problem drinking. So we, like my sister and I don't, like we're quite late to it, but like ducks to alcoholism. We really got into it pretty quickly.
So what's late then? What age were you?
Oh, like late by, like probably 16 into 17. Like late by
Such
Newcastle
Such an Australian
standards.
Answer. I was late to it, 16 and 17. Because this bloke here, my co-host, you were 21, 22.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I was sober on my 21st birthday.
Because a lot of my friends started when they were like 15 or had their first like 14 into 15 was their first kind of like Smirnoff Double Blacks. Or
well,
like
to be fair to you, on Newcastle standards, you were very late to
it. Yeah. Oh, most people had their first family and investment property by the time they were 13. So it's like...
Totally.
You know, you kind
and
of,
their third child.
Yeah,
or their
yeah,
first...
Yeah.
You know, second or third shot of heroin that time.
Yeah.
Shout out to Newcastle and thanks for tuning in.
What's that? How's that street? How's that main street going? I remember I did roadshow there myself.
Oh, where they only sell wedding dresses and empty shops.
Yeah, and there's a weird bookshop, I remember.
There's a very good toy shop / games shop in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hobby.
Very good. Yeah, Hobby Co. Hobby Co, yes.
Hobby Co, yeah, right next to Garden City.
Yeah, it's
there
really
you go.
Good.
He hasn't forgotten, has he?
Oh.
He's a world traveller, but he... You're like Olivia Newton-John or somewhere. You know, sort of, you never forget, do you?
No. Have you ever seen... Olivia Newton-John still thinks she's in Greece, I think. Like, every time she does an interview...
The country?
She cut you...
So the economy's terrible, but I'm still here. No. Do you know what I mean? My partner...
The country.
The named person, Gemma, she is more of a fan of Greece too.
Oh.
She's a big
believer.
There's
something wrong.
Anyway.
Listen, I want to say this on record. I love Gemma. She's great, but that's
great.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
You can't be into Greece too
you
more than
you
Greece.
Leave her.
And I hate both of them.
Apparently it's good. Apparently there's a lot to like.
Take the whippet and get out.
A lot of good songs.
Look, it's what you've got to do in these types of relationships. You quietly start creating a little bit of money on the side, get the whippet and get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now forgive me, but we have not heard your first drink yet.
So my first real drink is I decided, I don't know if you guys did this, like I was like, I'm going, I kind of put drinking for the, getting drunk for the first time and losing your virginity almost in a similar, like that kind of doing something as a teenager that you're trying to do for a long time and then you finally are like,
yeah,
I'm going to do it this weekend. I'm going to really, and my friends and I planned it. We were like, we're going to get drunk. We've got a fake ID. We bought a bottle of vodka and we decided to make vodka spiders.
Oh.
With ice cream.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, with ice cream.
And
that kind of worked.
It's a good way to get, have your first drink to also have your first real hangover that's mixed with milk at the same time. Like we just, because we didn't know what we were doing. We were like 16 to 17. We were like, I think this is really funny. I think we were more doing it for comedy. We bought a bunch of like Schweppes mixy kind of things. We bought a big tub of ice cream. We turned up to a party and no one went, hey, don't do this. This is a terrible idea.
Because you were all children.
Yeah. And it was one of those parties where you, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, you look around and you're like, oh, this is about, I should leave because this is about to kick into something that I don't want to be involved in.
Yeah.
You know, we're just like a room full of drunk 17-year-olds just so drunk they don't know where. There's a girl on a mattress outside passed out. And you're like, I need to leave.
Yeah.
This isn't. Well, you gotta and wait. I'm bringing her with me. Like, I don't, she needs to be saved as well.
You've got to wait until your 30s for those kinds of rational decisions.
Yeah. Like, we didn't know what Coke was yet. If we hadn't known what Coke was, oh, boy.
Because you just, you're just
on
take
fire.
It,
you have a bit of bang, bang. I'll take questions.
Coke and you can order a cab.
Yeah.
You got a 20-minute
window.
You can pick
up the cab.
That's ice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Newcastle. It's all the same to us.
Similar but different.
You were having ice.
Yeah. Newcastle was the methamphetamines capital of Australia for a little while.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all.
It's really a winning town, isn't it?
Look, it's an amazing town. I remember being there with... I know it was Mel Buddle.
Mm-hmm. Was it Joel Creasy and Fiona O'Loughlin? No.
This is a roadshow you're talking about?
Yeah, I feel like I was walking through Newcastle and I was definitely there with Mel Buddle and it was during the lockout laws in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And what I've always loved about Newcastle is it's got a deep history of mining.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very industrial town. It's a very union town and it's a hard town. And then also they, because of the amount of value and wealth that was being taken out of the ground just nearby, they put in place quite a lot of public art.
Yeah.
So there's quite
and
a lot of public
terrible.
Art. I'll say that. It is terrible. But I think it's good that they have done something in terms of beautification. And we were walking around the town because it was 1 o'clock in the morning. We'd finished our show. We couldn't find a place to have a drink. And we were
classic
just wandering.
Newcastle.
Yeah, and we were wandering around. And out of this sort of in Melbourne you'd call it an alleyway. In Newcastle you'd call it the
a
bit
home?
Between two buildings. Yeah. Somebody's house. But these two very massive, gruff men wandered out of this alleyway. And we were right in front of one of these pieces of public art that had been funded by the Newcastle Council or New South Wales government or whatever. And we were kind of head down trying to not engage. And one of the blokes looked at us and just went, hey, look at the art. And I kind of took the lead.
I thought I will.
I mean, it's a very aggressive thing to say.
You
anyway.
Took the lead
look
and
at the
turned
art.
Your head. I
no,
like
no.
That.
I took the lead and went, okay, mate, and like just try to acknowledge him and say, we've seen it. Thank you. And he looked back at me and he went, no, don't fucking glance at it. Look at it. And I thought, what a Newcastle thing to do, be aggressive about art.
And that was the mayor.
That was your dad.
Yeah. Tell him to come home. Good relationship with my family. I try and create this narrative that I had an unhappy childhood. Fine.
You're all right.
Yeah, it's a strange place, Newcastle. Like when I was growing up, it was funny how we had the lockout laws, but also at the same time on a Wednesday night, which we would call student night. So when I was like had a fake ID, and then when I was 18 in like very late high school, you would go there and there was a place called the Great Northern and you could buy, it was $2.50 basic spirits on a Wednesday night.
So that is a problem.
You could go out. Can't. Like, that's crazy. You don't could go out with $20.
Could I hear that again?
$2.50 basic spirits. So you could have, which I know there's
also
a lot of
any, yeah, there. Right.
You could
that
go
is
out,
cheap.
No, just very dumb ghosts. You could go out there and with $20 in your pocket and still get as drunk as you've ever been in your entire life and
paralytic.
Still have cash there home.
That is a bad decision, isn't it?
Yeah. But at the same time, like, oh, don't come in here after one. It's like, it's fine. I'm going to be on the ground by 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to be thrown into a bit of public art by 11.
So we do, in Newcastle, we do have kind of an interesting relationship with booze, I think. Like, it's yes. like a... and then when I moved to Sydney, when I was like 19, yeah, they started to do the lockout laws there. I feel like it just
following
followed
you, yeah.
me.
Yeah.
And now I come to Melbourne, it's You've like, just oh, moved, you guys are open after 10.
Get the fuck out.
It's quite amazing, isn't it?
When I moved here from Sydney.
Yeah, which is not that long ago, was it?
No, like, right? Like a year and a half, couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bonkers to me that anything is open after 11. Like, you just get conditioned. And well, I lived there for 9 years. You just
well, look, our premier, Daniel Andrews, sent when the lockout laws came into full effect in New South Wales, in Sydney specifically, he tweeted from his Twitter account, hey, Sydney, want a drink? Come to Melbourne. We never close.
He should have done it, though, at about 3:15 or after.
He may have. I think it's great. Look, I'm happy to be on record that everything that's happened in New South Wales in terms of alcohol laws over the course of the last decade has been an absolute fuck-up of epic proportions, and everyone involved in it is a moron and corrupt, and they've done it for their own personal gain. That's the only reason it exists. They've completely ruined that city.
The most interesting part of it is it's a big circle of the lockout laws, right? But then there's this big bite out of the circle, which is so weirdly where the casino is. Like, it would
isn't
be,
it amazing?
It's so interesting that.
Or isn't it also amazing that major developers wanted to build some things in King's Cross?
Isn't
so
that,
why? Oh, that's funny that you've shut that down at that time, and now people are building skyscrapers with apartments.
I lived in the Cross at the time as well, and it.
It's ruined.
It like genuinely though, like I
it's
knew it would
neutered,
be like, oh, this will yeah, take yeah. a long time. It didn't. It took a year, and it was completely empty. Yeah. Like, it's very odd.
It's such a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I went there recently on the campaign I was working on for Yak Brewing, and one of the bars that we were trying food in, and that's genuinely sad the way that that's
yeah. precinct. Institutions, places like, there was a place called Hugo's, which was like an institution,
yeah.
is like gone. Even yeah. like the big $1 million kind of douchey bars yeah. just couldn't hack it anymore.
Oh, they're done?
They're gone.
They're actually gone. It's not like they're still open and trading and they just close early. They're done.
They're done.
Everything's
because
done.
They were late night places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Oh, wow. See? Yeah.
The Cross
it's a real
is
shame.
Empty now.
It's a real shame.
But it's all, it means, because then I lived in.
And it's because of Puritans and Wowsers. Like, it's well not because said, yeah. of anything that's, because you know, they would say it was because some poor young bloke got punched in the back of the head and died, which of course you would go, well, let's fix that situation.
Yeah.
But that happened at 7 o'clock at night and not in the Cross.
Yeah.
So okay, well, that's clearly a problem with male violence. That's clearly a problem with conflict resolution. That's clearly a problem that men aren't having proper discussions about how to solve their problems.
Yeah.
Well, their solution was let's shut all this down. Oh, and then allow some developers in the casino to keep running.
And yeah, it's really quite evil, actually.
I lived in the inner west, which is kind of, if you don't, like, I guess a Melbourne equivalent is like Brunswick, kind of area.
Sure.
Is like yeah, town that. And it meant that they're not involved in the lockout laws, so all the kind of douchebags. All came to Newtown. And within a year, I think, the statistics, I don't know what they are, but, like, were pretty bananas of how trans people started getting...
Like assault,
yes. like the assault, yes. just not even just queer people, but just the assault skyrocketed yes. in Newtown,
yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
Newtown was this kind of very stoned. Well, I lived there for years.
Yeah,
I used to just walk home like you've never felt safer standing in the
Isn't
middle of
that
car.
Crazy and sad. Well, it's not sad, but it's sad because that shouldn't happen anywhere.
It's just men with pointed shoes and collared shirts. You know those guys, like
yes.
just guys out on a night.
Yeah, where do they
Fuck
come from?
Them. All right.
Sorry, I feel like I've really taken it down a way.
You do. You
get very really angry. Weird.
You've got a bit dour, like yeah, like Tim Rogers.
Tim Rogers. Yeah. I mean, I gave it a minute. He went straight in.
He hit it quite hard.
He straight into court case.
I drink. Six.
Hey, look, you know what can get us into a brighter mood is my favourite segment, which is it's a quirky fact.
Well, why not?
Look, I've been so busy that how I feel about facts is my facts. I can't talk anymore.
No.
How do you feel about facts? Well, they're ambiguous.
Read this one, but I feel like I had to share it.
Fake news.
It's not fake news, or it could be.
Fake facts.
It's just that I don't believe it. What colour are your eyes?
They're like a pond colour, like a murky
pond.
Yeah,
like a London,
smog.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And you've got, because it says here people
brown.
With blue eyes have a higher alcohol tolerance.
Hey.
And I'm right here.
Hey.
And I can say that I don't agree with that right
hey.
Now.
Hey, because you got blue eyes.
I do.
I don't agree with
that's
it.
That's just people.
You know
with
what?
Blue eyes.
My 4-week-old baby has blue eyes. Let's test it.
Yeah.
Let's get them out.
Let's
here.
Get her in.
I had an interesting discussion with the parents that I was having dinner with last night, where the mother was having a glass of wine. I was like, "Oh, is there like amount that you're allowed to drink?" And she went, "Well, they can't test it because there's no ethical way to test that. Like, you can't give a baby a bit of boozy boob milk
and test them
and see like do they have brain damage by the time they're 12? Like, there's no way of knowing."
I will say this. There would not be the nation of Ireland if it was a problem for mothers to drink while breastfeeding.
It's true.
I'm not telling mothers who are breastfeeding to get boozed up, but I am telling those who judge too fiercely on mothers who have a wine or a Guinness or whatever the fuck it is they're drinking.
What do they mean ethical, though?
Well, as in you can't test a baby.
They're testing through their genitals, or like you know.
Well, how would you test?
How is it ethical? Like you just.
How would you test the baby?
How would you? What, no, but how do you test anyone? I think you shouldn't. You'd have to do clinical tests.
You'd have to test the breast milk. You'd have to. It's all ridiculous.
How does
it's
it? Fine. No,
don't worry.
The word ethical should be taken.
Have a drink, ladies.
Ethical. Come on, treat yourself.
Right. Well, that's right.
It's all right. Have you heard the term pump and dump?
Oh. No, yeah, it was my nickname in high school.
Yeah, so breastfeeding mothers.
It was a cool porno you were in.
The term pump and dump, so breastfeeding mothers will rightly, because they've probably not touched a drop in pregnancy, and also if you need to have a fucking wine or whatever it is during your pregnancy, I'm not standing in judgment.
You're allowed to though, right? And you're allowed to have like one wine or
you're
something?
Allowed to do whatever the hell you want, to be honest with you. There's 7.5 billion people. We can lose a few. But
Jesus Christ.
If you're a breast if we're breast That's a very
all right, pump and dump. Listen, I haven't finished my facts.
You can get drunk and then you can pump it and dump the milk if you're worried.
And
that's what it's
and
called,
if you're worried,
pump and dump.
Make a nice white Russian out of it.
That's right.
Now you're talking.
Yep.
Reese knows. Okay, just quickly, this is also...
As a vegan, would you drink?
Oh, that's a good question.
I would live on it. Anyway, listen to this. This is actually wild. And you know Amsterdam, do you not sort of...
I've heard of it.
Well,
it's a place.
I mean,
it's a destination.
Do you not think that they're quite forward thinking on their laws
sometimes,
progressive? Yeah, sometimes. Listen to this. In a way, it is progressive. In a way, it's totally uncool. Amsterdam pays alcoholics in beer to clean streets.
I'm into it.
5 cans of beer for a day's work plus 10 euros and tobacco.
Wow.
I might move.
No, that's extortionate. No, there needs to be more than that. You've got to have a carton.
Cigarettes, beer.
No, but
to
the
clean
beers
the streets.
Is bullshit. You're cleaning the streets. Give the bloke a carton.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna
come on.
That's unhealthy though.
Yeah, well.
These
so
are
the
just
streets.
Good alcoholics that just want a little bit of beer. Okay, there you go. The only other thing I had to add is not a fact again per se, but because I've been riding a bike a lot, Reese. Mm-hmm. You saw me rock up today. It's the
I
first
saw you
time
on that
I've
bike.
Got a sparkly helmet
you know, and
on.
Yeah. Evil. No, I don't know.
That helmet that I was wearing?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little Evel Knievel, is that
what
you're going
for? Yeah, a little bit,
yeah. Sure,
I was trying to make an offensive name out of it, but I couldn't think fast enough. Because I've had two or three wines and a gin.
Interesting, because you're very fast.
You look like a special needs cross-dresser.
Yes.
That's the look I go for when I deliver.
What a terrible drag name. Welcome to the stage, special needs cross-dresser.
Everyone get hard.
I mean, we don't need to keep that in, I reckon.
No.
Anyways, whatever.
You can edit. Is that an edit point? I said get hard as well.
That I don't even think everyone's staying with what I was saying. Cut it all out.
Definitely.
Hey, Reese.
Definitely edit that out.
I'm sure you've got heaps of stories. I've been part of some of them.
Yeah.
Of where alcohol has fueled your journey.
Yeah.
What's one that rings to you right now that's, you know, an alcohol-fueled story?
I mean...
It doesn't need to be positive.
No, the... Well, don't we all? I think the most, the one that stands out to me the most is probably, and I've done it vaguely as like a crux of a show before, but like do you ever do this thing, like as in our dumb jobs, do you ever get confused of what is the real story and what is the version that you turned into stand-up?
Yes, more and more so now.
Yes.
In fact, now I have family narratives that I think are real,
yeah,
that I realise... I've just manipulated into stand-up. And yeah. In fact, it happened twice in the last few days because my mother is down because I've had a brand new baby. And I've brought up two stories and she's like, no, that's not – and I've done them as stand-up. And I was like, no, but I've told like thousands of people that as a fact. And she's like, that is not the truth. And
yeah.
I was like,
oh, well, whatever. Because you take like four versions of something and a friend tells you a story and you whack that in and then blah, blah, blah. Like we're live. But the most, one of the more truthful stories I've ever told on stage is one of the drunkest times I've ever been like alive is like the time I proposed to Kyron. Like we went.
Wow.
Yeah. Like we went to a wedding.
What a moment.
What a moment. And he was.
To not remember.
Stone cold sober.
Was he driving?
Yeah. He was. Again. He really was.
You're like, hey, drive me out to this.
You home.
Drive me out to Inspiration Point, Kyron. I wanted to.
No. I love you. Like, and the story is like a long, and like for the stand-up version of it, it's like has many different tangents. But the basis of the whole story is that I was at a wedding. It was one of these incredible weddings where you start to question both their relationship and your own. And then I got, Kyron was working in breakfast radio at the time, and so we had to leave, and I got as drunk as I've ever been in my life to the point where.
Congratulations.
You know when you, that kind of like the sparkling white kind of drunk. Where there's like a haze goes over your eyes and you start, you know when you're at a wedding and you see someone like either heckle the father of the bride speech or something, or they do like they're just talking loudly during a bit and you're like, how can you be so disrespectful? You're like, oh, it's sparkling white wine haze. Like I was
That's
there.
Them.
Like there was someone making a speech that was, I can't remember the context of it genuinely, but it was like a very meaningful, like very sad speech. And I can't remember what I said, but I did something like... Like just was like bad situation to the point where Kyron was like needed to like shush me. And I had been planning for about 2 weeks. I was like, I'm going to propose to Kyron pretty soon, I think. I'd like decided like this is going to happen. And we had in our building, we had a friend who makes jewelry. I was going to like kind of talk to her. But you know, once you get excited about news, you start to like in your drunk brain, I was like.
I'll do it now.
I'm going to do it right now.
I'll do it right now.
And he took me home like stone cold sober. He's trying to go to sleep. And people always think this is the bit that I lied about on stage, but it's the real thing. He was trying to go to sleep and I said, it was a good wedding. Would you do that also? Like that was my proposal.
That was your proposal?
That was my proposal line.
That was good. Would you do that also?
And he had to like confirm with me what I meant. And I was like, yeah, let's just do it. Yes or no?
I like that.
They look like they're having a good time. I reckon we're going to have a good time too. I don't care that we're gay. I don't care that it's not legal. Let's do it. And then...
It's a great impression.
He said yes. And then we had very bad sex to celebrate it. The kind of sex you have when one of you is trying to put up with the fact that one of you is very drunk.
You're still awake and talking.
So back to rape, marry, kill. You did it all with one person.
I did it all. I'd killed a relationship. And then in the morning when he got, I woke up with a very bad hangover, obviously, and he... had to. I wear a ring on my right hand that's like an heirloom, and he was like testing the waters to see if I remembered that I had done it. And he was like, "Hey, so maybe you might have to wear that ring on your left hand now." And that was his way of being like, "And
that
I was
is
like,
so sober."
Yeah,
that is like, the most sober. I'm looking.
We're all
at
looking
him.
At him like this we're is all true,
looking
right?
at him at the moment.
This is all absolutely true.
He just looks so in love. Still.
Yeah, like the which is
or
a good
or it's Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. That's a good impression of our relationship. I think he's just gotten so used to what this is, and I'm such a cunt to him on a daily basis. Like, well, this is life.
Well, I've known you both for quite a long time, and I feel like I read the love off both of you.
He's made this bed, now fucking it.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. All right, David.
Yeah. Oh, the thing.
You know what? I think we're there.
The thing that we do.
No, you haven't asked the last. Oh, I don't know.
I feel like I've really taken this podcast off track. It's
no,
the season.
No, I don't think it's you at all. I think there's some very heavy drinks that's passed our lips. And
hi, guys.
Here we are.
Oh. Oh, you got to turn the volume.
What's happening right now?
No, that was terrible. Oh, cowbell. Sorry, I forgot. That
oh,
sounds,
there it is.
That
there
sounds more go. Like it.
It's As the listener last... of this podcast, I genuinely thought that was a real bell.
Did
it's
you?
It's just an app.
It's just David on
it's
a phone.
It's just a bell app that I forget it's every time app. I do the podcast.
It's a bell app from
ready.
A bell end. Now, what's your favourite drink, Reese Nicholson?
I would say in the last day this has changed.
In the last day, that's
I've
good.
Always been a I love an old fashioned. Like yes. I like but an old fashioned it's they're quite sweet, so you can only have kind of like two or three.
Yes.
I like because I like liquors. Like I like to know
who doesn't.
Who doesn't, hey? I remember thinking it was so there's a, on Oxford Street in Sydney, there's a bar called Liquor Store. And I used to think that
Brilliant.
Was so funny. Like
there's
when
also
when I was 18, I was like, that's the height
There's
of
also a clothing shop called the Daily Mail, but M-A-L-E.
Oh, very good.
I love it. I bought plenty of clothes in there.
I mean, get that store on the gala, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's very funny.
Get it to do 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Unless they're an international and they can do whatever
they
want.
Do whatever they want. Do an hour up there.
Ooh, scathing.
We've all just been canceled.
So you drink...
I like to drink things that I know that taste very boozy. So when they don't taste boozy, I know I should stop. Do you know what
yes.
I mean? Like,
yes.
And
yes.
only a couple nights ago did I remember I love martinis. Like yeah. they were my drink for a while and then I kind of veered away from them. And then I had one the other night. I had a thing where I did a gig and we were trapped in the venue for a while because it was at the Sydney Comedy Store. You two were playing. So there was 1,000 boomers, literally 46,000 boomers. Trapping
Mate,
us in there.
Wasn't it an amazing mecca of boomers? I was driving down the street on the show they were doing in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And there was people everywhere and I was like, what's that going on? And then I looked outside and actually looked at the people and there was like 15, let's say, mid-50s men. And I'm like, oh, that's right, U2's here.
right.
And that was U2.
Yeah,
that was
they really are a band. Like for non music fans, they're a band you listen to. That's what I've sort of worked out about U2. They've got some good songs, but they've become that thing where as long as you don't really actually get right into music,
they're the
end. You know what I mean? You'll probably enjoy them.
They're the end of music.
That's the end like of music. What a scathing report on both people. You do it, Enya.
You come to Nicholson for the cunt all
Enya,
round.
Enya has
ironically.
A place.
But Martini, we were like, I was about to leave the comedy store in Sydney and the bartender there, the manager, Dave, made us all martinis as like what I'd call a settler. And sure. And I did that. I tried to do that. What's that? Is it? No, it's Winston Churchill that says you should drink a martini in three gulps,
yeah.
And so I did it.
Never heard that.
And I was sober. And then I got into an Uber,
and you were
got halfway
housed.
Home, and I was almost like I'd had three or four shots of alcohol
in one go. And I'd imagine, because I know that young man, who's probably older than
Winston Churchill.
No, I don't know him. Really proper racist, that bloke was.
Was he?
He wasn't. Right.
We should say Winston Churchill. Not Dave the bartender.
No, but Dave the bartender, he does like serving us up a very generous drink.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
He's a good man.
Is what I'm saying. And
he's a good man to us, maybe a bad man to anyone with an alcohol problem.
I've come unstuck with some of the I've made you this. It's like, oh, okay. I think that was four standard drinks that you just poured in that glass. Yeah.
He's a good man,
Dave. A martini is a good choice.
Can
and
I
it's
just
our first, by the
ask
way.
Oh really?
Reese,
I feel like it's a cliche, but it's Sorry, Dave.
I know this podcast is – no, I'm sorry. I know it's 9 hours long, but do you get into a dirty martini?
I will get into a dirty – I prefer with a – like with a – I prefer a dry with a twist. I don't like the – but I have been tricked before. A friend of mine drinks a
– Everyone gets tricked with a dirty.
Yeah. Friend of mine drinks a filthy one, which is the kind of murky.
It's very murky.
Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about. What,
for those of you listening who may not be into martinis, I will give what I think we're
Harley's
saying.
Harley's actually quite good at doing this. I don't know.
I think I'll give what we're saying. So a martini in general would be as crystal clear as possible. Yeah. It should look like glass.
And should contain.
And very cold. I like them when they're very cold.
That's how long's a piece of string, but should contain
gin normally. Straight gin.
Is right. I would, if you're having a dry one, you would just wash your glass in vermouth
run it around the edges,
and then you would just have the gin that's been stirred over the ice. So there's a minimal amount of water that's melted into the gin, and that's it. That's
sounds
all
like
you've
heaven.
Got in. That's
like
all you've got in.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to have a dirty one, you're going to put a little bit of the olive brine into it. If you're going to have a filthy one, you're shitting in it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You do a cum into it, and
you cry wank into the glass. Yes.
And it's a dirty little thing.
dear Christ. I'd like to think.
Well, happy Christmas, everyone. This is
this.
A Christmas episode.
Thanks for being involved.
But yeah, martini, I feel like it's a cliche, but a martini is probably, it's clean. It's like it would be
it's
my
the best.
It'd be my way out drink, I reckon.
Yeah, I think you've made a great choice. I think you made the right choice. I don't think a lot of people are like, oh, what is that drink that I'm going to have? Because a martini is a cracking drink. It's the way a cocktail should be because it's alcohol. And that's it.
Well,
you're dressing up alcohol.
Yeah.
You're just dressing it up as best you can. That's the proper cocktail.
It's very depression era.
Yes,
like it's kind
absolutely.
Of in and no matter what that term means to you.
exactly right. Let's
picture it and you've got that. Yeah.
I like that. But then also I'm a very seasonal, like, have you noticed Aperol Spritz
every
is having a moment?
Did you just say?
Aperol Spritz are having a moment.
And I've been... They've say I went on a holiday last year, which is I'm not good at holidays, but I went on a holiday with some friends. I was doing work in the UK and we went to Venice. And you know, if you travel with friends, sometimes it's a fucking like 2 days in, you're like,
yes,
I hate these
made
people.
A mistake.
I hate these people. In Italy, every 2 hours you can stop and have a spritz break.
Yeah.
And we didn't have one single bit of tension.
No worry.
Because you're having an Aperol Spritz.
Every now and then we just had a little spritz and have
it's the
some,
Italian
like,
way, isn't it?
Aperol Spritz is a bit of soda water, bit of champagne, bit of Aperol.
Do you know what I'll
delicious.
Say?
Delicious.
I wonder.
Any spritz,
it's
really?
Actually a wonderful drink.
You're an amazing knower of cocktails, etc.
Will you go? And I had an Amaro Spritz recently, and that really did it for me.
Don't know much about it.
Talk us through Amaro Spritz.
It's just an Aperol Spritz, but with Amaro in like a different type of digestive.
Yes.
Right.
Well, what's amazing is I and this might be the third episode in a row I've brought up Russia.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to, but what amazed me in my the limited amount of time I spent in Russia.
It'd be nice to go there anyway.
Was well, this is how intense they were into spritzes. So we would all over Russia. We would go and they would have menus for like they would have like. 10 to 20 different spritzes. I'm like, this is the country that's outlawed homosexuality? This is their fucking drink.
Yeah, right.
What's happening?
I think martini is my drink, but then I love a whiskey. Like, I plan it tonight. I don't have a gig, so I'm going to get into a bath and drink some whiskey.
Yes.
The greatest feeling in the world is being in a bath, watching something on Netflix. And
you can see the TV from the bath, so that's good.
Are you indiscriminate or what's your whiskey?
I mean, we always have a bottle of Jameson in the house.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, when I get shaved.
Just in case, right?
And in case. Mm. Yep. Just to set my nerves.
It should always be there.
It's my nerve medication.
Yeah.
But like a Lefroy, I wouldn't mind a Lefroy.
Okay.
Or
some peat.
I like a smoky peaty boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You spent time in Scotland, which could do that to you, can't it? Yeah. Absolutely, I agree.
Anyways.
Reese Nicholson, I've always liked you from the moment I met you. But I'll say this on record. You are one of the greatest stand-ups in this country at the moment.
Thank you.
If you haven't heard of him. Oh, well, thanks. We're doing our best.
Truly.
Thank you. I'll get off the bike and I'll get back into it.
We're trying hard.
Thanks,
but if those who are listening to this podcast, this small little tribe of people that we have not heard of Rhys, do yourself a favour. If you find a chance to see him, go and see him. He's a wonderful man.
Come on by.
And thank you very much
for
telling
us
your
stories. Thank
you, Rhys. I feel like I was fine.
I think you've been excellent. It's been great.
It's been one of my favourites.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
None of this is going in.
Well, who knows?
We'll edit it all out.
Whether it stays in or not, and I know we're done, but you two boys are very important to
me. Let's start off with our...
He just walked all over his bloody lovely compliment.
Thank you,
Ray. I just wanted to start off with our unique sign off.
And
see you, mate.
Oh, yeah.
And I do. Love alcohol.
All the end there, Luke is getting edited out. That was horrible.
You've gone out with your girlfriend. You're dancing with a dude. Take him home cause he's a 10. But in the morning he's a 2. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. You hate this total dick. He hasn't got the faintest clue. Says he liked your latest show. So you get matching tattoos. Yeah, that's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. Meet your girlfriend's dad, but he just looks down his nose. You lost count of all the wines. Then you take off all your clothes. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. Some people say they don't trust the ones who don't drink. But can you really trust yourself after a sesh? I don't think. You're charismatic, popular, hysterical, and wise. Get out the taxi, tumble over, smash your shoulder. In 8 weeks, it's only that you realize. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. You say you don't repeat yourself. You say you don't repeat yourself. You stop everyone in mid-conversation and say, guys, do I repeat myself? They put you in a cab. That's the drink talking. You tell your mate that you love him. He says you're the best, yeah, that's a fact. It escalates till you both plan to chuck it in and open a B&B somewhere in Ballarat. Yeah. Harley Breen, he's a comic. King among men, an impresario. Had the idea to get a venue, charge money, get smashed with his friends, and see if he could call it a show. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking. That's the drink talking.